the 7 Italian derbies to put on your bucket list. Not ranked in any particular order. Joining me, David Farini, is Dan Canciano, Destination Cultural Senior Writer and all-round cultural guru. We're going to get into the first one, Torino and Juventus.
I mean, it is the oldest running football derby in Italian football.
The Derby della Mole.
Indeed.
And I'm going to read off Wikipedia for this. It is named after the Mole Antonelliana, a major landmark in the city, architectural symbol of the Piemontese capital. It was once the Italian capital as well, Torino. But
the first capital.
The first, yeah. And so what are the benefits of going? Why would people want to go and watch the Derby della Mole? And would they prefer to watch it at Juventus Stadium? Or perhaps something different that most people won't do is go into the center, Philadelphia, Santa Rita, that region there, to watch it at the Olimpico Grande where Torino play their home matches.
Why will people watch it? Well, the rivalry has been really one-sided. We have to say that in Serie A, I think Juventus have dominated the derby in the past 3 decades. But the rivalry is like few others in Italy. You know, there's is a rivalry that for decades ran along a class divide. If you were working class, you were supporting Torino. If you were middle to upper class, you were supporting Juventus. And also demographically, if you're born in Turin, you support Torino. If you're like coming up from the south, looking for work, working at Fiat, you'd be supporting Juventus.
And it's reflected in the way, the Juventini, where they're situated around Italy even nowadays.
Most of them are in the south of Italy.
That's
why, you know, if you travel around Italy, but particularly Turin, you'll see stickers that simply read Torino Tifatoro, which means if you're born in Turin, you support Torino. You know, it's a bit like, I suppose, like when you look at the likes of, you know, Everton and Liverpool, you know, they're sort of like one of the two clubs claim to be the actual club of the city and the other tends to be the bigger club.
Yeah, and English clubs, German clubs, everyone has that, don't they?
Exactly.
Especially in the bigger cities where they have two or more teams.
Yeah, the second question, where should they be watching it? I'll say you should probably be watching it at the Grande Torino, purely because you get to see the Philadelphia as well, which was where the Grande Torino used to play. It's a historic ground, it was dilapidated. It's now been rescued.
And it's a very beautiful area, big parks around there, a lot of restaurants, a lot of things to do. Transportation, very easy in Torino. So in Turin, it's a very clean city. It's kind of a city geared for living as well as being a large economic sort of city where there's a lot of industry. The Agnellis with Fiat were there, whether they're still there in spirit or just the headquarters and they're working abroad. We've seen, as you said, that links into the Southerners coming up to support Juventus, and there is that class rivalry there. A lot of people around the globe support Juventus for what they've done in the Champions League, and we all remember the memories of the Torino Grande side that went down in the plane crash back in the 40s.
49.
And there's a lot of history there to soak up. You can go to those museums as well, and right in the center of the city is Torino. And then on the outskirts of the city, Juventus.
Yeah.
And of course, Juventus Stadium. It's a great stadium. It's one of the newer ones.
It is,
in Italy. Yeah. One of, three or four new ones in Italy.
Yeah.
And the rivalry is there. One of the longest running rivalry in Serie A.
Indeed. And we should mention that if you happen to be a fan of chocolate, Turin prides itself on their chocolate. And one of their traditional drinks is a combination of coffee, cream, liqueur and chocolate, all served in the same glass. It's highly caloric, but if you're there, you may as well knock a few of them back.
That's it, yeah. Live a little while you're in Turin. And of course, it's easy to get to other cities to watch another match if you want to pair them up on the weekend, getting to Genoa, getting back to Milan.
Or you could go to Alessandria and get a bit of Serie C football in.
Serie C, get it. That's the Torino-Juventus derby. Watching Italian football in an archipelago of 118 different islands. This is the Stadio Pierluigi Pensa in Venice. Dan, does it get any more picturesque in Italian football?
Well, I mean, if it's good enough for Jeff Bezos, probably good enough for the majority of football fans. But
big Venezia fan, is he? Or?
Huge, yeah. Okay, he used to have a season ticket back in the Recoba days.
I'm sure he did. Yeah. Jeff, if you're out there, we're expecting you to become a member in the next couple of seasons. But Venezia and Padova, this is the Derby della Serenissima. It's a Venetian or the region of Veneto, that derby, and we haven't seen it for quite some time because Padova have been in Serie C for 6 years. They're back in Serie B, so...
They are indeed, yeah. Veneto is a football not bad in Italy. I think, apart from Lombardy, nobody takes football as seriously as they do in Veneto. They almost take it as seriously as their wines, and they do take their wines very seriously, that part of the world.
They do. They're not traditionally a successful region in terms of Serie A, Verona winning back in the day. And now Venezia coming into Serie B, this is going to be quite big for the league in general.
Yeah.
Very, very big for Veneto as a region. So they're going to be celebrating this. Part of a traditional footballing city, not been in Serie A since the mid-90s, 1996. And there's a lot of tradition there. There's a lot of heat between it. So perhaps some kind of irony in the name there with the Serenissima, perhaps. But why should we go?
I mean
12,000 people on the, Venice, on the lake.
Venice doesn't need to sell itself to say one of the places that bucket list stuff really.
Yeah. It's not a lake, it's a lagoon, I should specify.
Yeah. I mean, Venice is fantastic. It is, you're never going to see anything like Venice ever again.
You can even arrive on a boat.
Yeah. Yeah. But don't.
Aperol in hand. Or whatever they prefer in Veneto. I know that Prosecco is from the region, is it?
It is, yeah.
That's a big excuse to take the missus.
There is, I think what they drink in Venice is something that it's, I think it's called Cicchetti, and it's basically like a smaller version of tapas, which starts from breakfast and I think, depending on what you have, carries on throughout the day. But I believe that you need to have, and I'm not saying you need to have, is like you need to have, you actually need to have like a glass of wine with it all the time. So if it's a late kickoff, maybe pace yourself.
Pace yourself on the way there. The players would have to do that if they get there and have their aperitivo before a night match, for example, for sure. Let's hope to see a couple of spicy clashes in Serie B this season. Also over in Padova, it's the Bianco Scudati.
Yeah.
And you've written a piece on them, so go and check that out on the website. Also, one of our previous videos on Padova and the fan situation. But the Venetian fans, the Venezia fans, that are based over there in the lagoon, they'd be pretty happy with Venezia floating between the top two divisions.
Yeah, but they've got, you know...
They get a big turnout every time as
they
well.
They do. And it's quite interesting, like, the sort of like the juxtaposition, because the Pensa is probably one of the most picturesque grounds in world football, as you said. And then you go over to Padova, where they've got the Ugania, which is an eyesore.
It's an eyesore. And to get there, you have to fly into Venice.
Yeah, you've got to fly
even
into Venice.
Even for Padova.
Yeah.
And the train over.
Yeah.
You do that.
It's quite, I mean, Padova in itself, I think when people talk about Veneto, they always talk about Venice and Verona for obvious reasons, but Padova is a lovely city in itself. It's quite small. You've got loads of art and architecture. You got the university. And it's, you know, just your sort of stereotypical Italian city, who's in culture, who's in history.
And with Venice, you've got the Arancinero Verdi and their side. Their city is steeped in history and art.
Yeah.
It was one of the biggest port cities in the old days, we'll call it, back in the day. And still, I mean, is it a case of over-tourism? Maybe it's an inside tip would be to go in one of the colder months if you're going to go to Venice to watch football.
Yeah, it's difficult with Venice. I think go in the colder months, but make sure that you don't go in the middle of winter because you're going to end up getting your feet wet.
It's the rainy season, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
It's always a rainy season in Venice.
Avoid the summer, whatever you do, because it's going to be packed. It's
stinking
gonna be
hot.
Humid, stinking hot.
The water smells a little bit more as well.
It does,
In the summer. And it's just, it is overloaded with tourists.
It is, yeah. Which it's something that the locals are really, really up and, you know, they're really not happy about it.
Yeah, but if you want that real Italian feel, but in a derby there, Venezia and Padova is one that we haven't seen for quite a while. So there is that novelty with it as well. Cittadella was the other side there. So I guess if you want to team it up and go to another.
Well, you could go to do, you could go and see Cittadella Vicenza as well, because
they're
going to see Virtus Verona, I believe.
Virtus Verona there. And of course, Verona, not too far.
Not too far, yeah. They're not going to see any derby there, but you get to see the Bentegodi.
Lago di Garda as well, another lake that's inside, but maybe another 90 minutes from Venice itself.
Yeah.
So Venice, Padova, can't lose.
No, indeed.
Let's take you to Tuscany, but no, it's not the wineries of the inland. We're going to the coastline of Tuscany, it's a beautiful part of the region there, Dan.
It is.
It's home to Pisa, Very easy city to get to, so that's a big plus if you're wondering why you should go. Pisa back in Serie A after 34 years, the Diego Simeone days. They've got Alberto Gilardino as coach, and their rivalry is against Fiorentina. He's an ex-Fiorentina superstar.
He is. Pisa is great in terms of getting to it. It's really easy. The airport is, 5-10 minutes train ride away from,
so easy.
From the city.
The easiest, I think,
in Italy. It's probably one of the easiest cities to visit.
And the cabs are a good price as well, culturally, if you want to get around and take in the food.
It's so easy to get around, and it's so easy to get around also because the Arena Garibaldi is 5 minutes from the Leaning Tower, so you can do sightseeing and then pop over, watch a bit of football in...
You can literally pop a can, walk to the tower, go back to the stadium... Half time, you could even leave, go back to the tower, take a few selfies.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I've...
Thousands of people taking it with a whole, trying to hold the tower up.
I've got a tip for that. If you nip there at 6 o'clock in the morning, there is nobody.
There's no one there? You've been there and done that, have you?
6:10 in the morning.
6:10. Yeah. All right, he gets his espresso in the morning. Espresso or macchiato?
No, I had a cappuccino.
I sit here corrected. Down with his cappuccino and right there, the piazza, you just sit there. Tower there, and in the background you can see the lights, the light towers of the Arena Garibaldi. Holds about 10,000?
Just north of 10,000, yeah.
Okay.
It's like a tower. It's a bit dated, but I think the tower has aged better than the Garibaldi has.
It probably has, and it leans a bit less than the stadium.
But no, I mean, it's great. Like, it's, you know, you think of the tourist hotspots in Italy, you think of Milan, Rome, Florence. Big cities, massive in Rome's case, but Pisa is so easy to navigate, so easy to walk around, and you know, it's small.
It's a uni town as well. So if you're a student, you're based in Pisa, and you want one of the cheaper derbies to go to, Pisa at home against Fiorentina.
Yeah, that'd be.
And if you're at uni in Florence, because that's another big city as well.
Yeah.
Go to the regional rivalry, the Tuscan rivalry. What is it, about an hour and 20 minutes on the train?
An hour by train, more or less. Yeah, depending on the service. Really close. Obviously, both cities, was culture. The food is phenomenal. I don't think you can get better food.
And cheap prices. It's not like you're going to the center of Rome there. You're going to get good prices for food.
Yeah.
And of course, good weather. Tuscany is renowned for having better weather than the north, for example.
Yeah. You probably nice afternoon, spring afternoon in Tuscany. I mean, it doesn't.
And again, it's so walkable.
Yeah.
Pisa shops right there in the middle as well, if you fancy getting a bit of merchandise.
I mean, realistically, you could probably just visit Pisa in half a day and then go to the game and then head back to Florence if you were so minded.
And if you want to go to another match in the area, there's always Lucchese or Livorno.
Livorno, yeah. Now, Livorno are Pisa's main rivals. But you go Lucchese, you go Livorno, you go Pistoiese. Empoli.
Pistoia's there, yes. The Christian Vieri belt there, but he's done a couple of clubs.
Yeah.
And then if you want to go north, Spezia, Cinque Terre, there you go.
There you go, yeah.
Pisa, Fiorentina, what a derby that's going to be. Now, Italian football in Campania, in that region there, might be dominated by Napoli, the reigning champions. However, inland, we have Avellino against Juve Stabia in Serie B. That is the rivalry this year. There's a derby in the Campania region, Dan. And if you love agro-tourism, where you want to stay on a little farm, they bring you food, really fresh food as well. All the animals are there. A lot of industry, a lot of agriculture in Campania, and Avellino is right there. The Stadio Partenio, that is the place for the Serie B derby with Juve Stabia.
It is. It's a big rivalry this as well, because as you said, you know, we tend to think of like Campania and like obviously Napoli dominate the headlines, dominate the conversation. But Avellino were... I wouldn't call them like Serie A royalty back in the 80s, but they were a regular figure in Serie A in the 80s. They're back in Serie B. And the Partenio is always a stadium that is fascinating because like it hosts the UEFA Cup final.
Yeah, one of the big... The Juventus and Fiorentina played there. They had to move that final. They went to Avellino of all places.
Yeah.
So it must be something. Maybe those players back then needed a bit of Campania culture in their lives.
Maybe they did, yeah. Maybe they did. I mean, Juve Stabia were one of the surprise packages, Serie B last season. Raudi rowdy bunch they are. They kept setting up flares when we were there.
And that's the atmosphere you're going to get if you go to this.
Yeah, well, party. Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, Avellino, I think they had the second biggest attendance, average attendance in Serie C last season, you know.
And they won their division in the South.
They did. Campania take the football very seriously.
They do.
You're always going to get great atmospheres down there, aren't you?
And Avellino winning, that was in a particular season when the Pope, there was a papal changeover. There's a history there. If you haven't read about it, there is a link. Is it a crazy coincidence or not? Every time a Pope dies, not every time, but there's a link to Pope being changed over, Avellino gets promoted. So go and read that on the Destination Culture website.
Yeah, and if you're talking about great historical figures, probably bigger than the Pope, Tony Soprano's family are from Avellino.
If you're going to worship someone, it is Tony Soprano.
The big man himself, yes. And sadly, none of the episodes of Soprano featured him going to the Partenia, which I think is a missed opportunity.
I think that was a bit they cut out of season two, perhaps.
Must have been, yeah.
Well, look, the food, if it's good enough for Tony Soprano, the gabagool,
it's going to be good for everyone. Absolutely, yeah.
So agricultural tourism, the agroturismo, the Italians call it. It's an effective way of getting around on a budget. And if you want to experience real Italy and get out of the cities, you go inland. Around there is also Benevento.
Yeah.
So the Serie C football, if you want to get there.
Obviously,
Napoli for Serie A.
If you're closer to Naples and you're talking football, you should be going to Sorrento, which, yes, it's Instagram paradise, but I don't know if you've seen it. They've just released one of the best kits of the city this season and probably any season. It's absolutely stunning. Go and check it out online. It's amazing. I won't spoil the surprise.
Okay. And just south of Sorrento, there's Salernitana.
There is that, yeah.
So they were relegated last season. They'll be in Serie C. And it's just a fabulous region.
It is.
And
am I right in saying that the food in Campania varies, not just from region to region, but like within Campania, you get...
There is the derby of the food as well. Yeah, absolutely. So home of the pizza. That's where it comes from, apparently.
I'm getting quite peckish now.
Peckish, and I'm getting peckish for the Serie B derby.
Well, there you go.
Avellino and Juve Stabia, so big rivalry set for Serie B this season. Parma and Bologna, it's a big Serie A derby, and we're in the region of Emilia-Romagna, and it is the Stadio Ennio Tardini, or you could go to the Stadio Renato Dallara. You can't lose with either one of these. So Parma and Bologna... there's food in between them as well. There's loads of other cities and other divisions.
There's food everywhere there. Gosh.
And you eat well in Parma. I know that for a fact. And as for Bologna...
You probably eat even better in Bologna. Bologna is... I'm going to go out on a limb here. The best city in Italy for food.
I think it's the most underrated city.
Come at me with your comments, with whatever. It's the best city.
Come at him in the comments. And Parma voted the most livable city a couple of times that I know of. And a very... intimate city. It's much smaller than Bologna. A lot of farmland around it as well. If you want to do the farm stays or get a cheap Airbnb, you can do that. Mm. To get to Parma, I would say the easiest thing is to fly to Milan or to Bologna. So
Bologna is also very well connected as well. So I think that if you go to Parma, you probably need to get by Bologna. But Bologna, you know, it's only what. On a fast train, I think it's just about an hour from Milan.
From Milan, yeah, it's very, very quick. So you've got that option to get to this derby, and both cities are quite walkable to the stadiums as well. There's a beautiful one in Bologna. And Parma, it's probably 10 minutes, the walk, to get Ennio Tardini from the centre. Cheaper, I think. Well, both cities are quite cheap, but Parma always has discounted accommodation, especially if you go throughout the colder months of the season. And... fabulous atmosphere.
It
at
is.
The Ennio Tardini.
And it's interesting how Parma are now sort of the underdogs in the derby. You know, back in the 90s, they obviously were one of the dominant teams in Serie A, and Bologna were the sort of...
Bologna's a powerhouse now.
Yeah, they were the upstart, and now they're also... Yeah. The tables have turned. Tables have turned. See what I've done there, talking about the food?
Yeah, tables in Emilia-Romagna, they're turning.
They're turning, yeah.
And look, we've got Karl Kraus. And also Joey Saputo. There's an American-Canadian derby there as well.
There is.
So two clubs coming from cultural pedigree. The names of your Dino Baggios, your Hernan Crespos.
Your Zolos, your Kolivanov, your Roberto Baggio, your Kenneth Anderson, your Gianluca Pagliucas, your Beppe Signori. Your Faustino's brilliant.
And these days it's Lewis Ferguson.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's a massive one. We've done an interview with him. If you haven't seen it, Dan went and spoke to him in Bologna last season. And how did you go there last time? What kind of stuff are you getting into, and how How long were you there? Were you a couple of nights? And what did you eat?
We're there for two nights. We had food at a place which is a local restaurant. It's called Osteria de Lorsa. And you cannot book. You can only queue. And when you're in, you don't expect anything fancy. You don't expect anything Michelin star in terms of decor and in terms of the way the
place is. Just getting there, there's cutlery, tablecloth, but you know the food's going to be good.
That food is going to be good. And you have 4 or 5 items on the menu, and the place is packed with locals, which is always a good sign. And the food is amazing. Like, Lewis was kind enough to recommend us a couple of places. Some of them were too far from where we're staying, so it was logistically difficult to go to them.
Can anyone just get on the blower to Lewis Ferguson and ask them for updated recommendations? Or
I suppose they could try. I'm not going to pass on the contact.
Get involved if you want to do that.
Joking aside, Lewis said that he was astonished at the quality of food in Bologna.
And that's a big thing for Scottish players coming from Scotland to play in Italy. All of them say, oh my God, the food and the lifestyle and the weather. Emilia Romagna is one of those places.
Yeah, no, the food in Bologna is amazing. It's literally the sort of place where you walk around and even if you're not hungry, you're thinking, oh, okay.
Maybe I should try that.
Yeah,
window shopping, I like to call it, where you see all the prosciutti and the cheeses and the markets there and the profumo. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
So
the food is good as the football.
The food is good. It's good as the football. So go maybe in winter or in autumn so you can wear like baggy clothes, big coat, and you can sort of like, more allowance.
Doesn't matter if you stack it on.
Yeah.
And if you're going to stack it on, stack in a couple of extra games, you can get to see also Sassuolo in Reggio Emilia with Reggianas there. Yeah. You've got Cesena and Modena.
Of course. And, you know, you can get a bit of Europa League football as well with Bologna being in Europe this season.
That's it. The Italian champions, with the Italian Cup there. So Bologna and Parma. Big question. Do you want to be part of Calcio history? This is the first ever real meeting between Sampdoria and newcomers to Serie B. It's Virtus Entella. Dan, will you be part of history? Are you going to go to this? The big derby in Liguria?
Well, if we are going to cover it, and yes, I will do.
Well, we're definitely going to cover it as official broadcast of Serie B. Come on.
Sarcoms doesn't travel well, yeah.
Written on Virtus Entella already. Talk about their kits.
Yeah.
If you're Argentinian and you're looking for a club in Serie B, you don't have one.
Pick Virtus Entella. Their kit looks exactly like Argentina's famous Albi Celeste. Yeah. I guess that's how
Albi Celeste or Albi Celeste in Italian, maybe, yeah.
But yeah, it's a stunning white and light blue number. And yeah, they're going to be back in Serie B for the first time since 2018.
Named after the river Entella.
They're almost like Chiavari.
Yeah, yes. Chiavari is the name of the town. The name of their stadium that holds about 5,500 spectators is called the Stadio Comunale, technically. And that's where they will host this derby when they finally play Sampdoria. Don't worry about the Derby della Lanterna.
No.
Some Genoa. We don't know whether we're going to see that again.
Well, I mean, it might happen in Coppa Italia again, but like until 2-3 months ago, we really thought we might not see it for a long while.
And if they do, we're going to have another watch party. But Virtus Entella now, first time back in Serie B for 7 seasons, I believe.
7 seasons, yeah.
So they were in Serie B when Samp were in Serie A. Yeah. This is the first time they're ever going to meet. They've only played 2 or 3 friendlies in history.
Yeah.
And now it is the big stage for the small town. Only 27,000 people living in Chiavari.
Yeah.
A beautiful little town.
I think it's the sort of town that doesn't get... it's got a reputation as the getaway to Cinque Terre, which it obviously is.
It is, on the north side of Cinque Terre.
Yeah, but if you go to Cinque Terre and you're going to Chiavari, you may actually want to spend some time there and visit it because it's lovely. Like
big, beautiful squares.
Yeah.
Very clean town.
It
is on the seaside there in the Mediterranean, just like Sestri Levante is nearby.
And it has obviously a lot less tourists than Cinque Terre, so you can walk around a bit more.
Yeah. And it's a functional town.
It is.
Good railway
system.
And
they sell, I mean, just like everywhere else in Liguria, they sell focaccia, which as far as I'm concerned, is a good enough reason just to go there, eat focaccia 5 days in a row, 6 days in a row, whatever long you're there, just eat there and...
Pesto is good.
Oh, gosh. You're making me peckish again. But no, it's stunning. And I have a feeling that because of what's going on with Sampdoria, this derby will be a lot more keenly felt than it might otherwise
have been. They might fancy their chances to win the first game between
Entella,
especially at home. If they get to play Sampdoria on their turf, and if you want to see this, get there, and you're going to enjoy Liguria. Yeah. Also, Genoa playing in Serie A. the other way, Serie B, Spezia, on the other side of the Cinque Terre. So
Tuscany isn't too far.
And it's not too far.
But going back to the kits for 1 second. Do you think that like there is something like, do you think there's Sampdoria don't like Argentina or something like that? Because
well, the Genoa affiliates,
the Genoa connection, obviously Boca Junior are nicknamed Xeneizes, Genoese in Genoese dialect, and now you've got Virtus Entella who wear a kit that is similar to Argentina's. So if you're a Doria fan, I don't think you're too fond of Argentina. What do you reckon?
I don't think so, but hopefully they might show this as a Sampdoria kind of Argentinian rivalry in South America, where we are the official broadcaster in Argentina. This could be billed as kind of a David and Goliath story here.
It is, yeah.
Sixth largest city, small town in Chiavari, Genoa, the small town boys going up to Genoa, maybe pull something off at the Marassi. It's another great venue to watch football at. Historical.
Oh, it is.
Everyone knows the Marassi, the Stadio Luigi Ferraris. It's in the district of Marassi, and that's the other option to watch this derby is there in Genoa.
If you've never been to the Marassi, it has to be on your bucket list. Another one talks about San Siro, but Marassi has to be up there. The atmosphere, no matter the fixture, the atmosphere is unbelievable.
It's electric.
It's difficult.
Flags are non-stop. Singing's non-stop. And it doesn't really matter who wins because afterwards you get to do this Scalinata Montaldo, those steep incline to get to the bus. That's what we had to do.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's not too hot for you. So go in maybe October, November,
if you're planning to do the Scalinata, go between December and January.
Yeah. Rocky, the staircase in Philadelphia has nothing
on it. It's got nothing there.
Yeah, it's about, 20th of the size. How many, we tried to count the steps when we were there last time. I can't remember, it was over 200.
I think it was approaching 300.
Yeah, and you actually, there's apartment blocks where residents live.
Yeah.
And you're going above apartment blocks to go to the next apartment block and the next one. And finally you get to the top and the view from up there is magnificent. So the Marassi or the Stadio Comunale in Chiavari, Virtus Entella, Sampdoria, and of course Spezia, not too far away. And concluding our derby series, the seven Italian derbies that you should put on your bucket list, we're going to go to Milan, the Derby della Madonnina. Dan, this is possibly the biggest, aside from Rome, Lazio-Roma there, Inter and Milan, eternal this battle in both cities, but in Milan, especially recent times, Milan getting the wood over Inter in recent times, the last five times. Before that, it was lopsided, Inter winning. But aside from that, Milan as a city, sensational.
It's my favourite derby in world football. It's just something about it.
Is it the stadium that draws you in?
I mean, the stadium draws you in, yeah. I mean, it's a cathedral. I like it that you should go and watch a game at the San Siro, even if you don't care about football, purely because of the building.
It is a life changer because I know people that are not interested in football. They went.
Yeah.
Because, it's a big thing in Italy. We go to watch the soccer and then they go and they are changed forever.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to the San Siro, even if you don't, as I said, you don't care about football, go into the San Siro.
And it's about 20 to 25 minutes on the metro from, say, Piazza Duomo, where the Milan Cathedral is.
Yeah.
You can get two or three different metro lines, but eventually it's very, very easy. The metro
system
is a lot
easier now to get to San Siro than it used to be. Yeah.
A cab might be, 20 minutes in a cab. Milan's very easy to get around for a big city.
Yeah.
And it's unmissable. You have to go to a Milan derby.
No, you got to.
The Stadio Giuseppe Meazza technically is what it's called. Holds, 75,000 these days?
Yeah, north of 75,000.
Yeah, also there for concerts and other events.
Yeah, and the Milan Derby is the second best thing you can watch this on here after Bruce Springsteen.
You've been there a couple of times for that?
For Bruce, yeah, three or four times.
On the pitch or in the stands?
In the pitch.
Okay, on the pitch. He's been there. I've never been on the pitch, so I'm a little bit envious there. And the Rossoneri, the Nerazzurri, we're talking about players, the caliber of your Vieris, your Maldinis, the Maldini dynasty.
The German trio, the Dutch triumvirate, the AC Milan, your Shevchenko, your Kaká, your Berezis, your Suarez going further back in time, your Altobellis, your...
The Catenaccio days.
Yeah, your Bergamis. It literally is who is who of Italian football.
And these days, of course, Lautaro Martinez.
Yeah.
Big name there.
Of course you did like.
And of course, you got the Christian Pulisic for the Americans that want to venture over.
Yeah.
From the other side of the Atlantic. And Look, to get to Milan, you fly into Linate or Malpensa, very easy. But if you want to get more central, it's Linate Airport. It's about 20, 25-minute drive in a cab. Malpensa is not really Milan at all. It's closer to Como, if anyway.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's about, 45, 50 minutes train ride into the central station in Milan, which, speaking of buildings that are worth visiting, the central station in Milan is one of my favorite stations. It's fantastic. I like traveling via Milan purely because I get to have a look at the station. It's fantastic.
Just as you get in on one of the overground trains, then you're like, oh, metro. But then it's like a 10-minute walk because it's massive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's got like this huge, it's amazing to think that like it's been kept. It's in a better state than most of stadiums in Italy.
Yeah.
And it's a lot older than some of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, most of the stadiums are about 100 years old.
No, exactly. But Milan, I mean, was... Whether you like culture, whether you like fashion, whether you like both food.
Risotto Milanese. It's one of the staples there.
It is.
You've got everything there. It's a more multicultural city as well. Big uni city.
Yeah.
And also Lombardia as a region, Lombardy. You go out and you've got Cremona there for Cremonese back in Serie A. You've got Como, the Lake Como, so you can't go wrong there. You've got further afield, Atalanta in Bergamo. So there are those regional rivalries. And then in Serie B, you've got Monza and also Mantova.
You do. And then, of course, not far from Milan, although it's no longer Lombard, but it's in Piedmont. You've got the likes of Novara and Provincelli and themselves,
as you branch out towards
Staples of a bygone era in football.
Yeah.
But, if you want to catch some Serie C football, you want to do a bit of ground hopping, why not? But back to Milan, the Milan derby has to be on. If you're a football fan, and even if you're not, has to be on your bucket list. The noise is, I don't think you can describe the noise of Milan derby unless you've been there.
Yeah.
If you've been there,
it's something that your bones feel it as well.
Exactly.
And when you leave, doesn't matter how many times you've been, it's always a new experience.
Yeah.
And of course, the food trucks. You haven't seen that. We've done a food truck. We've done a video on what to order and how to order and how the system works there, because sometimes there's coins and sometimes there's not. So food, of course, in Milan, great. All the different varieties of nationalities in the food. And it's just a sensational city.
It is.
So easy to navigate around. So if you have any expectations of Milan, that is the place to go and find them. You're going to find a new experience every time you go.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts in the comments. Did we miss any rivalries or any derbies that we should have put in here? Or perhaps some from the lower leagues that you think that we can talk about in future? Let us know.